we are holding on. Hey, Amud Beis. Good morning. Okay, so we're holding on Hey, Amud Beis. And the Gemara tells us that we're talking about a case where somebody sticks his hand into his neighbor's yard and pulls out some rain. A serious kleptomaniac. So now, what does this guy do? Good morning. What does this guy do? Says the Gemara, he's chayev for carrying. So questions the Gemara. Okay. So how did you steal it? Says the Gemara, it's talking about where you took it out of a hole of water. So what's the chiddush then? There was rain? Chiddush is, says the Gemara, that because it has to be taken off of a surface. If it's floating in midair, we know you're not chayev because you didn't do an A. The chiddush is that water is considered resting on water. If you take water off of other water and you scoop it out of a hole, that is considered a valid resting spot, and therefore it's considered a valid uprution. Okay, says the Gemara. Good morning. And Rava goes according to his reasoning, as Rava stated, to Amar Rava, Mayim al gabi, Mayim hainu hanachasa. If you have water resting on other water, that is considered a valid form of resting. And therefore, if you put water on top of other water, that's considered a hanacha. And if you take water off of other water, that's considered an akira. However, egoiz al gabi mayim, if you have, say, a nut floating in water, a tree nut floating in water, so in that case, if you go ahead and scoop up this tree nut and you pull it out, you're not going to be chayev. Because the nut is not considered resting on water. It's floating. It's not a resting spot. And since it's not a resting spot, it's not resting there, you cannot uproot it. Questions the Gemara. Boi Rava. What about egois bekli? Bekli tsof al gabi mayim. Here's the case. You have a little rowboat. The rowboat is on the water. And inside the rowboat, you have a nut. Is that considered an official place down? Because if we take a step back and we look more at a global view of the picture, we see that the reality is the nut is on top of water. You're right, the nut is on top of a boat, but the boat is resting on the water. And therefore, it's not a valid put-down or pick-up. But if we focus more directly onto the picture here, we see this hat is on this table. It is here. So this would be technically, if the relationship that we look at is specifically between the two objects in question, the object being placed down on the surface it's placed, then it is a valid place. But if we take a more of a global picture and we see, oh yeah, but this surface is on water and that's not considered a valid place, and that will extend to the original case. So that's the Gemara's question. Egois bekli v'klitzaf l'gav emayim. Basar egois is leading to, we go after the nut and we focus specifically on the two objects in question. V'hanayach, and that's considered a valid put down. Adil v'basar kli is leading, v'haloinayach, deny it. Or do we take more of a global step back and say, oh, no, this is not naik, because it's still moving. And the Gemara leaves this one off as a take. Another question.
Would it be the same question on a boat?
Yeah, I think so. Not according to the way I said it, yes. Some Rishayim learn that the question is a different question, and that is it normal to do this? If that was the question, then it would not be the same question on a boat. But the way I said it, which is Rashi's way, it would be the same question. Says the Gemara, Shemen Shetzof al Gabi Yayin. If you have oil which is floating on top of water, of wine, and it could have been water, but just for the next Gemara, we're going to use wine. Shemen, if you have oil. So now we all know from Hanukkah that when you put water in oil in the same cup, the oil floats to the top. Is that considered a put-down? Is it like water, in which case is the vart that it's liquid, so yeah, it's all connected, and therefore it's considered one object, and therefore it is a put-down? Or do we say, no, it's like a nut, floating on water. Just like a nut floating on water is not considered a valid put-down, so too is oil floating on another liquid not considered a valid put-down. Says the Gemara, it's actually a machlekas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah with regard in regards to the hilchos of Tumah. Halacha is a Tvul Yoim. A Tvul Yoim can... If you have oil which is floating on top of wine, so now the reason why I didn't say water is because water cannot contract tuma. So that's why we chose wine, but it's the same idea. If you have oil floating on wine, v'noga tvul yoim b'shemen, and the tvul yoim touches the oil that's floating on top. Now the reason why we chose a tvul yoim is a person who went to the mikvah, and he still has residual tuma on him. He's still able to convey tuma to other things, but only as a sheni. Now, this rule that there's usually, I think we saw it recently, that a sheni is able to, in brachas in the eighth parak, the sheni is able to make a tuma, something else into a rishon that exists only by a regular tuma, but not a tvul yom. Tvul yom is somebody who just got out of the mikvah, so he still has some residual tuma on him. He has to wait till the evening. So that's why we chose a tvul yom. A tvul yom that touches an oil, so it's at most it's going to make it a shlishi because it's truma. And the question is, will it pass down to the wine also or not? If it's considered one big object, then it will pass down to the wine. The same way I touch this part of the shtender, the whole shtender becomes tameh. So if it's one big object, I touch the wine, the oil the wine becomes tameh also. But if it's not considered one big object, it's considered two distinct objects. There's the wine and there's the oil and there's the wine. So then my touching of the oil will affect only the oil. It will not affect the wine. That's the Gemara's. It's the Machlokes, whether or not it's considered one object or not. And the same thing with Hilchos Shabbos. If it's considered one object, so then in the same way if you pour water onto water, it's considered a put-down. So too oil onto wine is considered a put-down. But if it's considered two objects, then it's like a nut on oil, on water. And it will not be considered a... it will not be considered a hanacha. So let's see that inside. Shemen shesav gabayin benaga tvul yom b'shemen loy pasul al shemen uvad. He only ruins the shemen. Rabbi Yechina ben Nuri Omer shneim b'chub arm selezer. They're both considered attached. Amar Rabbi Oven. Amar Rabbi Loy. Amar Rabbi Yechina. Hayatoyin oichlinu mashkin v'nichnas v'yoytzi kol yom kuloy einechayv ad shiyamid. A person has a backpack on, and he is carrying the objects back and forth. And he goes in the house and out the house, in the house, out the house, but he never stops walking. He's not that, because he didn't stop. He never did a see. Says Abaye. And that stopping has to be a stopping that is there to rest. Luhusha amad lafush. As long as you stop to rest. But if you're stopping lechasef, which we don't have that word yet, but we're about to have it. If you're stopping lechasef, which means to adjust the load and help you walk further, then that's not considered a stopping. What would be if you stop for a red light? I'm not stopping to rest, and I'm not stopping to adjust the load. Something in the middle. I'm stopping because that's... So I think, if I remember correctly, it's a machlokes v'shainim, but it's only diyukim v'shainim. There's a question that you can ask on Tesis. I don't have to check my notes because I don't remember what the question is. But the way to answer the question will be by saying that the chasef means this, and it's a question on another rishon. And the way to answer the question will be to say the chasef means like that. So I don't think it's mafurish anywhere, but there's a shtickel Torah to say that it's a machlekes rishonim. But those are the extremes. Lafush means to rest, and the chasef means to adjust the load. What about anything else? I'm not resting, but I'm not adjusting the load. Okay, so from the fact that Amar said Toich Dalad Amos Amad Lafush Pater. If a person is carrying something Dalad Amos and Rishus Rami, he picks it up, he walks Dalad Amos and he puts it down, and in the middle of those Dalad Amos he stopped to rest, he's Pater. So what we see is that stopping to rest cuts up your action. So now I picked up the item in the morning, I walked for two Amos, I stopped, so that's an ABC right there. And then I walked another two amas. That's another ABC. But each B only had two amas, so I'm not chayef. However, if I stop lechasef, meaning I picked it up and I walked, and then I'm like, okay, adjusting it, and then I continue walking, so then that's not considered Chai. That would be Chai because it's not the the thing in the middle is not a, valid stop. So you look at the first A, you look at you, all the way, you travel the Dalai Lamas, and then he has his final C. Now, if he walks outside of Dalai Lamas, Amad Lafush is Chayiv. If he stops, if he goes Lafush, after he continues Lafush, he's Chayiv. L'chasif, if he does it to adjust the load, he is Pater.
I don't understand, what's the difference between whether you stop for resting or adjusting the load?
Because the question is, if adjusting the load, it's not considered as if I put it down. I never put it down. The object is on my back. And I'm carrying it. So now I'm like...
Yeah, but when you stop, it's considered like you put it down.
No, that's the chiddush. Chiddush is that since I didn't really stop to rest, I'm really just... It's helping me carry the thing further. That's not considered as if I put it down. That's considered as if the train is still going. Right now, it just hit a small red light. The train is still in motion.
It's a hard concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things, you know, you're right. So the Gemara says, "My kamash melon." What's the chiddush? Shaloi ha'isa akir mishav rishon l'gach. So says the Gemara, what's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush? A guy picks it up, he walks back and forth, he's not chayev, until, what's the chiddush? That you didn't stop, that you have to have, the original akira has to be with intention to take it out. Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, chadazim, Rabbi Yochanan already said that. The Amr of Safra, Amr of Ami, Amr of Yechidin, Hamaver Chafetzim Lezavis Lezavis. A guy picks up an item in this room in order to put it on the bookshelf over there. So he does an A, but as an A had intention not to be completed as with a BC. He was going to put it in the same over here. That was his intention. And then he's like, you know what? Nah! And he tosses it out the door. So instead of putting it in the same building, absolutely violating nothing, he suddenly just decides to throw it out the window. So now, he never did an A, because his original A had no intention to be Mechal Shabbos. So he did the act of an A, but every act of Shabbos has to be done with intent. And even if you don't intend to violate Shabbos, let's say the whole thing was a mistake, you forgot it was Shabbos, but your original A is not called an A. The Akira has to be done with intent to finish the act, regardless of if you think you're violating Shabbos or not. You have to pick it up thinking, I'm going to toss it out the window. That's an A. Picking it up in order to give it to somebody, and then you're like, that's not considered an A. Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yochanan already said that, so what's the Chiddush? Says the
Akira and Anacha?
No, because the original case also, he needed another Akira, since he was walking already from before Shabbos. So he was walking the whole day. He never did an Akira. He never did an Akira. But you're right, it is a Nidin. I mean, Rashi has to speak it. The original Din is not Beferish that it was talking about without an official Akira. Rashi has to speak that out. And L'chay Rashi gets it just from the end of the Gemara. But you're right. Technically, that would have been a good territory in the Gemara.
He's walking from the
Ginjams. Or Rashi says it's talking about where he was walking with intent to carry it out. If I remember correctly, it's a Nidin and Tesis also. But you're making a very good point, that technically, the Gemara could have squeezed out by that way. The Gemara could have squeezed out and said, that's the Kira. Says the Gemara, am I right? You're right. It says the Gemara, that's the same Din. And Rav Yochanan said it once. There was just two people who said it over in his name. Mara Mala Bahailishna, Mara Mala Bahailishna. One Amoira said it over with this example, one Amoira said it over with that example. All right, Tan Rabbanan. The Gemara continues a new case. Hamoitzi mechanus lepalatio derech stav. If somebody takes out an object from a chanus, which is his store, stores of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, to the palatia. A palatia is the plaza, the great plaza in front of his store. A lot of times they had a huge amount of people milling around like a flea market, and then his private stall. So his private stall is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The place where everybody's milling around is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And in front of that, in between that, they have an area called a stov. A stov was where the guy used to sit. And it was like his personal space. So people didn't usually enter his personal space. It didn't have walls, but it wasn't there for the Rabbim. People didn't walk there. It was his person. That was the store owner's space. That's where he, you know, that's where he stood there and screamed out, hot dogs, hot dogs. But, so that was his personal area. It's called the Stav. A little, could be it had a little bench there sometimes. Could be it had, we'll see exactly coming up. But, so the Gemara says, a guy takes out from a Chanus to the Palatia, but he walks through this Carmelus, this Stav, this area that's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's not a Rosh Hashanah. What's the halacha? So let's just follow this guy. He does an A, he picks it up in Rosh Hashanah. He crosses over into a Rosh Hashanah, and that's a B, and then a C, he puts it down, Rosh Hashanah. So you should be Chayev. And you are Chayev, says the Gemara, Chayev. However, Ben Azai Paiter. Ben Azai says you're Pater. Why does Ben Azai say you're Pater? Says the Gemara. Bishlama Ben Azai, says the Gemara. I can understand Ben Azai says you're Pater, Kosavar Mahalach Ko'imidami. Because remember, we had this opinion of Rabbi Akiva that said kluta, which means that you view the world in freeze frame motion. There's another opinion called Ben Azai, who says, no, I disagree, you can't view the world in freeze frame motion. But what you could do is, every time you take a step, you know that your feet are on the floor, and that's considered putting your foot down. That's considered resting. Whenever you take a walk, every time you rest, that's considered rest. Rest, stop, stop, stop. That's considered a stop. Every single time you take a foot, you take a step. So therefore, what did you do? Even though you're walking quickly, oh man. Even though you're walking, really, even though you're walking quickly, you pick it up. That's an A. You stop, and then you. That was a B already, and then a C, and then another one. ABC. So now, you picked it up in Rosh Hashanah, and you stopped, you did an ABC to a Carmelus, and then you did an ABC from a Carmelus to a Rosh Hashanah. Because you stopped the Carmelus, so you never have a complete action of ABC to, you never have a complete action of one ABC from a Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. You have two separate actions. One that started in Rosh Hashanah and ended in a Carmelus. One that started in a Carmelus and ended in Rosh Hashanah. So you're going to be putter.
The guy, the case before where he never walked four amos because he's constantly stopping.
Excellent question. How is it possible to walk four amos? Excellent question. So the Tosis asks this question. He says, because it's Xeris HaKosov. That's what he says. However, the Rishalmi asks the question and says, four amos is only possible if you jump. If you take a super jump. So an interesting Shiloh is, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, that there's a Gemara that says that we don't blow the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because you may come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah. So, carrying it, maybe. I mean, maybe the carry, maybe. All right, I hear what you're saying. But you're going to jump four amas. The only time it's us is if you jump four amas. A guy is going to jump four amas. So famously, his son, Rav Label Eger, said, for a mitzvah? Yeah, of course. But he's going to go ahead, jump. He's going to jump for a mitzvah.
What about if he's traveling in a car and a gun or in a carriage?
Let's say a person is in a carriage. I mean, assuming that it's a small carriage. Yeah, assuming that he picks it up and he doesn't... That would be another option. I mean, the carriage has to be very small because most carriages are Rishus HaYachids, but let's say.
Oh.
Yeah, technically, if you pick it up outside, if you pick your hand outside the window, you pick it up outside the window, and as the carriage goes, that would be another option. But it's the same idea as the Rishami, that you're jumping. Same idea. I wanted to answer the kasha by saying that, the Yerushalmi doesn't mean that you're jumping four amas, because that itself is a bit of a chiddush, eight amas. 8 feet is a big jump. So even for a mitzvah, it's a big jump. So I wanted to say that the Yerushalmi doesn't mean that you jumped eight amas. It means if the svara of Ben Azai was, and I'm saying this, it's not, you know, so what I meant as well is because when I step down, my full body weight is resting on my foot. So if I were technically to be able to freeze the frame for real, I would be able to balance on that foot. So like I'm walking,
There's a point in time when I could go ahead and be on one foot and totally balanced. Whereas running, I never have my balance on a foot. I'm never resting on a foot. My foot is consistently propelling me forward. And therefore, I'm never resting on any foot. I can never freeze a frame and say, stop. Okay, now if you stop the picture right there, he's resting on that foot. If you ever stop the frame, I'm going to fall forward and hit my head. So I think that's what the Rishalmi means. If that's what the Rishalmi means, so then it's not schwer to... You don't have to say the guy's jumping 8 feet. It just means he's running quickly. Okay. But yeah, that's a good question. That's a... says the Gemara. But all of Hilchos Shabbos has to have precedent in the Mishkan. So according to the Rabbanan, where is the precedent for such a thing? Where you pick it up, you bypass a Rishus a Carmelis, and you put it in a Rishus Rabbim. So very nice you don't hold of this freeze frame technology that Ben Azai has. But even at the end of the day, you still need a basis for your being mechayev. El rabbanan he nami dekasavim mahalach lav koyim adami. That walking is not like it's standing. Heicha ashkachna ki haygam nedechayev. How do you find such a case that you're chayev? I'm Rav Safra, I'm Rav Ami, I'm Rav Yechon, and midi dehavi amavir chifetz berushas harabim. You know what it's like? It's like every time you walk in berushas harabim. Hasam lav afagav dekamet the nukid leva ozel is pater ki monach lechayev achanami leishna. A guy picks up an object on Tui in California, and he walks down to Devon. The entire time he's walking, is he chayev? No. When is he chayev? When he finally puts it down. So over here, you pick it up over here. As you're walking, you're not chayev. So it's the same thing. Says the Gemara, what comparison is that? Over there, the area you're walking through is a Rosh Hashanah. If you were to put it there, you'd be chayev. Over here, the area is not the Rosh Hashanah. That was the whole question. Me dummy says the Gemara. Hasim kolhecha demonically. Anytime you would put it down, whether you're on Lunt or Greenfield or Makim Chivu, hacha imanachle bestav. If you were to put it down in that Carmelis area, in that place where the bench was, Makim Pturu. Ella says the Gemara. Me dida havi amavir chifetz mitchilas dalal l'soif dalal. Says the Gemara. You know what it's like? It's like picking up an object on Tui in California and walking just 4 amas. At Amma number 3, if you were to put it down, would you be chayev? No. So you see, you're able to walk through an area. You see that the pickup does not have to be directly back-to-back with the put-down. If you put it down within the Dalet Amos, you'd be pater. And yet, when you put it down at the end of Dalet Amos, you're chayev. And again, the Gemara says, yeah, but it's no comparison. Our question isn't, does the pickup have to be back-to-back with the put-down? But our question is, do the Rishuyos have to be back-to-back with each other? Does your Rishus HaYachar have to be back-to-back with your Rishus Rabim? Over here, the Rishuyos are back-to-back. Even though it's true, you can't put it down over there, but anybody, it is Rishus Rabim. Midami Hasam Lagabe Dahai Gavra Makam Pturu. With regards to this person, it's a Makam Pturu. Lekuli Alma, but for everybody else, it's a Makam Chivu. And our question is, do the Rishuyos have to be back-to-back with each other? Ella says... It's not different for different people. You never did the action yet. If you pick up something, you have to walk with it dalet amos. If I walk with it only 3 amos and I put it down.
For one person, a makom p'tur. For another person, a makom chiyuv.
No, so it doesn't mean it's a makom p'tur. It means that if he were to put it down here, it's mamish, the intersection of two in California. But since he did not yet walk 4 amas, he's only up to 3 amas. If he were to put it down, for him it's a makom p'tur. For regards to this act.
Is that over 10 Tvachim?
What?
Is it over 10 Tvachim?
Is what over
10 Tvachim?
Like this? Oh, depends where you put it down. You picked it up, you put it down. You're asking a question that maybe if you... why can't we bring a proof from a person who picks it up and walks 10 Tvachim and lifts it higher than 10 Tvachim? Let's say I pick up an object and I hold it like this. I'm running with a football. So this is over 10 Tvachim. Yet I'm chayev. And this is a makim p'tur. So you can ask that question. If that's what you're asking, Tosis asks the question. But that's good. That would end our shiur right here. So we'll stop. So the Gemara says, says the midami hasam l'gabe the high gavra makim p'turhu. Ella midi da havi says the Gemara a moitzim rishis soyachil rishis sarabim derech tzidei rishis sarabim. The Gemara says there's areas in rishis sarabim that are called tzidei rishis sarabim, which is, let's say, you know, you have a sidewalk and there's this grassy area next to the sidewalk, and then you have your house. So the grassy area next to the sidewalk is not supposed to be walked on, but it's completely open to rishis sarabim. That's called tzidei rishis sarabim. Places in rishis sarabim that are generally not made for walking but are completely open. So, most houses, and the assumption is that the tents in the Mishkan also had an area around them that was tzidei rishis harabim. In which case, the general assumption is that if there was carrying in the Mishkan, they went from their house to a rishis harabim with passing through a tzidei rishis harabim. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's where we have the precedent. In the Mishkan, they probably had tzidei rishis harabim next to the tent. And you're chayev. Hasam lavaf lagav di imanach lehat tzidei rishis harabim. If you were to put it down in the tzidei rishis harabim, you'd be pater. Ki imanach lehi b'rishis harabim. If you put it in rishis harabim, you're chayev. Hachanami leishna. Says the Gemara, well, tzidei rishis harabim is actually subject to a machlekes. Ma'askev l'rapapa hanichal l'rabbanan. You found me a good source, a good precedent, according to the Rabbanan, who say that this grassy area next to the houses is considered a not the rishis rabbim. The amri tzidei rishis rabbim is lav kishis rabbim. So you found me a precedent because they probably had that in the Mishkan also, because that's the way houses generally are made. And you probably have and therefore that's the way they carried back then. But elul Rabbi Lazar, the amri tzidei rishis rabbim is kishis rabbim dami my ikal meimar. But according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that area is also considered rishis rabbim, so you lost your precedent. Because you went directly from your house, even to the grassy areas right outside your house, it's already rishis harabim. So you no longer have a precedent. Where does he know that you are chayv in such a case where you walked through a makom ptur? In Amalei Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika, that even Rabbi Elazar agrees that if it's difficult to walk there, for example, they have these little, they put these spikes there, not actually spikes, but they put these, like, you know, those areas that people shouldn't walk there. Like, you know, you have, like, in front of buildings, sometimes you have these concrete pillars, so cars shouldn't go there. So they put those things there so people, it won't be easy for them to walk there. Then even he agrees that those grassy areas are considered not the rishis harabim. Emad shamat l'Rabbi Lazar to amar tzidei rishis harabim is kishis harabim. I mean, when did we hear that Rabbi Lazar holds that tzidei rishis harabim is like rishis harabim? That's hecha deleka chifufi. That's only if they don't have these pillars there that are annoying, so people will maybe sometimes walk there. Aval hecha deika chifufi. But if they have these annoying pillars there that are meant to deter people from walking there, then even he agrees that the grassy areas is not considered rishis harabim, and therefore they probably had that back in the Mishkan as well. And those people, when they would carry from their house to rishis harabim, they were doing the act of carrying. And nevertheless, that's called the act of carrying. So we see a precedent for such carrying. And what happened in the Mishkan is the prototype for what is usser. Hilkach lahadamya. Therefore, so in that case, Mishamatle, did we hear that he says that? We didn't. So therefore, hilkach lahadamya. That is what it is compared to. Amar Rabbi Yochanan umayda ben Azai b'zayik. Rabbi Yochanan says that ben Azai, who we just said, explains that when you walk, it's as if you are throwing things down. It's as if you stop. That's only by walking, because like we explained, the lumbus is, every time you step down, you're resting. But according to Ben Azai, if you throw something through the air, of course you're going to be chayv, even if you passed a makom ptur, because it didn't rest in that makom ptur. Tani Namihachu, we have a price like this as well. Hamaitzi Mechanus Lapalate Derech Stav. If somebody takes an object out from his store to the plaza through this stav area, he's chayev. Echad Hamaitzi Vechad Hamachnas, whether you took it out, whether you brought it in. Vechad Hazarik Vechad Hamashit, or whether you threw it or whether you passed it. Ben Azai Omer, no, if you walked with it, Hamaitzi Vechad, you're going to be putter. Hamashit Vechazarik, but if you throw it, you're going to be chayev. Yeah.
So it sounds like on the one hand, he comes up with his own idea in complete agreement with Rabbi Akiva, and on the other side,
right, so,
he completely disagrees with Rabbi Akiva.
I mean by Kuta, Rabbi Akiva of Kuta?
Yes.
Yeah, so the truth is that it's similar ideas. Rabbi Akiva holds that the whole world is always dealt with like...
Pre-spring.
Exactly. So therefore, even if it's flying through the air. So that's a different lumbus than Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds that no, there's no lamas here. He holds the mechanics of walking include a brief rest. This is called the rest. He holds it's a mechanics question. He was in the University of Mechanics, MIT. He was in the University of Theology, Rabbi Akiva. He the world is frozen, frozen, frozen. Whereas Spinoza held, no, as you walk, you're resting. You're mainly resting. Tan Rabbanan Dalet Rishuyas L'Shabbos. There are four Rishuyas. How do we translate Rishuyas?
Domains.
Domains, okay. Four domains for Shabbos. There's Rishus HaYachid. There's Rishus HaRabim. There's the Carmelis, Umakim Petur. Now, so a Rishus HaYachid is obviously Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaRabim is a Rishus HaRabim. There's a Carmelis, which is... Then everything that's not a positive Rishus HaYachid or a positive Rishus HaRabim is a Umakim Petur. It's neither. However, the Rabbanon didn't want to leave most places on earth unaccounted for. So they named anything that is big, like four by four wide, as a Carmelis. And therefore, Midrabanan, you cannot carry them. But that's only Midrabanan. So those are the four domains. There is a positive Rishus HaYachid, positive Rishus HaRabim. Everything else is just a Makom Ptur, it's nothing. And the Rabbanan said, some Makom Pturs are Carmelises. If it's big enough to be a Carmelis, then it's a Carmelis. Otherwise, it remains its Makom Ptur. So the Gemara says, Ezuhi Rishus HaYachid. What is Rishus HaYachid? A charitz, which is a ditch. Shehi amok asara, it's 10 deep, v'rachav dalet, 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide. V'chein geder, or a fence, shehi gavaya asara, which is 4 high, 10 high, v'rachav dalet, and 4 wide. Zuhi Rishus HaYachid. This is a Rishus HaYachid. Gemura. Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean, Gemura? V'ezuhi Rishus HaRabim. What is considered Rishus HaRabim? A Suratya, which is a large highway. Upalatya, a large plaza, gedela. Umuvuaisa mefulashin, or streets that are open on both ends. Zuhi Rishus HaRabim Gemura. This is a Rishus HaRabim Gemura. No mention is made. By the way, I just want to point out a Rashi here. Rashi says, by umuvuaisa mefulashin, he says, they are 16 amas wide. Why doesn't he say that by Suratya, by the highway, and the Palatya? Why does he specifically say by the Muvois and Mufulashin? So I wanted to say, because there's really no requirement for a Palatia to be 16 amas wide. If you are, you know, the Tom Thumb, or the Boxcar Children, or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, whatever, and you have 600, and you have however many people in an area that's less than 16 amas, that's fine. There's no minimum size. Now, generally, a plaza is going to be bigger than 16 amas wide. And generally, a highway is going to be bigger than that. But you don't need it. However, on a Muvai Sabuflashin, you do need it. And the reason I'm pointing it out is because it's going to answer a big question in two blocks.
What about the 600,000?
What about 600,000? No mention is made in the Gemara of 600,000. The question is, the Rishonim are the ones who start dealing with it. Some Rishonim, Rashi included, hold that in order to have a Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000 people. Because of that... Yes. Because of that, there's very few Rishus HaRabims on the planet. Because of that, we're lenient and we make Erevs. Because you can't really make an Erev in the city without officially closing the doors. And we don't have any doors in our Erev in Chicago. So, how do we make an Erev? The answer is because we say, oh, you don't need 600,000. You, in order to make an Erev, in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000 people there. Which is, many Rishonim do not hold to that. Or they explain, what does it mean 600,000 people? Do you need 600,000 people at one time? Do you, because that almost never happens. Maybe in St. Peter's Square in Rome. Do you need 600,000 people in the same street, over a day? Maybe the whole grid of the city. Is it one long street? The 94 goes across America. So what does it mean? What are the conditions? So this is all a massive machlokes v'shoinim. In order to make it Erev, you have to be lenient and say that in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000 people in one area or whatever, and therefore Chicago is not a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore that's what gives you the head to make an Erev. That's who we rely on to make the Erev. But now if you want to know why some people don't like the Erev, that's because they hold like the other Rishonim who say it doesn't say 600,000 people. Any place that's made for the Rabim is a Rabim. And you cannot make an Erev in such an area unless you have official doors that close once a year. And I don't know if you visited Yerushalayim recently, but if you're on Rechav Suratskin, you'll see big yellow gates. Remember those yellow gates? Those gates are there because they're doors. And they're makbid on these opinions that say that you don't need 600,000 people. So they don't agree to the citywide Yerushalmi Erev, but at least on Suratskin, let us carry between buildings. So they set up gates. Okay, so so the Gemara, yeah, so it doesn't mention 600,000 people. Yeah, exactly. I know. Everywhere is a thing. You're not allowed to carry from one to the other. You can't take out from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Rabim, and Ve'ein Machnisim Rishus Rabim Zul Rishus Yachad Zul, and you can't bring back from Rishus Rabim to this Rishus Yachad. Ve'im Haitzi, and if you bring it Ve'hechnis, and if you take it out and you bring it in, B'shoigeg you're gonna be Chayev Achatos. B'meizud and Ashkaris V'niskal. B'shoigeg you're Chayev Echatos, and B'meizud, if a person does it with Edim, he gets Skila. Without Edim, he gets Karis. Aval Yam, the sea, Ubika, a large open area. The Istavanis is the long word for that word, stav, that we had before. This area that is in front of the stores that the bookkeeper and the store owner sits there. The Carmelis, and Gemara's going to say, I thought we were talking about Carmelis's. Ain't a like Rishas Yachid. They're not like either of them. You cannot carry it. And if you do carry from one to the other, you're putter, because it's only Darabanan. You can't carry either in it for Amos or from one to Rishus Rabim or to Rishus Yachid. But if you do, again, it's only Darabanan, so you're Pater. Chatzeris Shel Rabim. If a person has a chatzer in front of his chatzer, so it has four walls, but in front of his house, but it's open to a bunch of people. So this is a concept that we're going to see in Erevin a lot, not so much in Masechta Shabbos, that you cannot go from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid that's owned by a different person. In other words, the reason why you let it go from your bedroom to the kitchen or to your living room is because it's all one person, it's all owned by one person. But you can't go from one Rosh Hashayachid to, if you own, let's say, an apartment, you can't go from your apartment or you're in a hotel, you can't go from your room to the hallway because your room is owned by you, the hallway is owned by the people. Unless you have a different type of Erev called an Erev Chatzeres. So that's what we do. We make an Erev Chatzeres. If you hold it as city Erev, so then really we're all in big one versus a Yachid. But it doesn't help. How do you go from your house to the street? Your house is owned by you. The street is owned by everybody. It's all versus a Yachid, but how do you own it? The answer is they have to make, besides for making the regular Erev, they also are responsible to make an Erev Chatzeres. So we don't know about all these things that they do behind our backs. V'hem ha'itzi v'ichnes is pater. Chaser shoram umuvoi she'enam afloshen, or streets that are not open, cul-de-sacs. Irvu, if you make an erev in them, then mutar, you're allowed to carry in them. Lo irvu, if you don't make an erev in it, it's asur. Adam oimid al ha'iskupa, a person could stand on a porch. Now this is a small little porch. In other words, it's like one of those little cement steps in front of your house. So it's not 4x4 wide. So this is not a Rosh Hashayachid, doesn't have walls. It's not a Rosh Hashayachid, it's not open to the public. It's not a Carmelis, because it's not 4x4 wide. So it's the fourth category called a Makam Patur. A Makam Patur, you're allowed to lechatchila carry from Rosh Hashayachid, Rosh Hashayachid to it, or Rosh Hashayachid to it. But the one thing you can't do, says the Gemara, is you can't go from one to the other. Just a gezeira. Adam Ayman al Skuba, a person can stand on a porch, Vinoitlmi Balabais, he could take from the Balabais, in other words from Rosh Hashayachid, Vinoisla, and he could return to him. Noitlmi, and he could take from the Rosh Hashayachid, Vinoisla, and give it back to him. Ubavad, so long as you don't do 1, 2, 3. Shalom Yitlmi Balabais, Vinoisla, Ani, may Ani Vinoisla Balabais. Vim not the Vinoisla, but if you did it, again, Shlashtan Paturin, again, you're Midrabanim. Acheir Maimrim, the Gemara will discuss this on Daf Tes. Iskupa Meshameshes Beis Rishuyas. This porch that we're talking about, this cement step, can serve as two different Rishuyas. Bizman She Pesach Pesuch. If the doorway that's next to it is open, then it has a status of Batal to Rishus Hayachet, Kilefnim. Pesach Na'ul, if this doorway is closed, then it's Kilechutz. And we'll discuss this more on Daf Tes. Ve'im Haisa Iskupa Gavaya Asara. And if this cement, if the cement block is 10 high, Ve'rachava Dalet, and 4 wide, then Hareza Rishus Latzma. That's already its own Rosh Hashayachet. Okay, now, that was one long brisa. That brisa is going to take us till Daf Tesa Manal, to dissect. So let's start with the first line. Amar Mar, Zui Rosh Hashayachet, this is a Rosh Hashayachet. This case of something that's 4 wide and either a ditch, or 4 wide and ten deep, or 10 high, is Rosh Hashayachet. Says the Gemara, L'mi'ute Mai, what is it coming to exude? This is a Rosh Hashayachet. You know, you take a Coke and you're like, oh, that's a good drink. Like, okay, not what did you drink before this? Like that's the good one. So this is a Rosh Hashanah. So to the exclude what? Let me utei mai. Says the Gemara, Lemiute, you're coming to exclude a different opinion who says that a much more lenient opinion in labeling a Rosh Hashayachet. Hadu Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Yeser El Kenam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said even more, this is a quote, so even more than whatever was quoted over there. It happens to be that it was quoted over there, a roofed Rosh Hashayachet. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishi Yesh Le Beis Batem B'Shnei Tzidur Rosh Hashayachet. If a person has two houses on either side of Rosh Hashayachet, meaning, can you imagine Devon Avenue, where one side is stores and the other side is stores? Rabbi Yehuda holds, in order to become a Rosh Hashayachet D'oraisa, you only need two walls. So technically, any Rosh Hashayachet that is bordered by houses is actually a Rosh Hashayachet. Mishi yesh lebeis batim b'shnei tzidei Rosh Hashayachet. Somebody has two houses on either side of Rosh Hashayachet. So then, it's technically a Rosh Hashayachet. All you need is some sort of reminder that the Rosh Hashayachet stops here. So all you got to do is have some sort of lechi there, which is a small little pole on the side of your Rosh Hashanah where the house stops. And as long as you have a pole where the house stops, then you're allowed to carry in that area between, because that area between is not a Rosh Hashanah. Here you have a street, Devon, bordered by houses, and here's a house. As long as you put a lechi over here, or a kaira, so then you're allowed to carry in this area. You're allowed to carry on the street.
You need to put
I think somebody would throw something at you for pushing a carriage because of the Chicago Arab. Say, what are you talking about? I mean, Rosh Hashanah, I don't even need an Arab.
You need a lefty on both sides.
Yeah. Okay, so it says, it's a Mishnei Tzidur Rosh Hashanah.
The house or can it be freestanding?
Yeah, I believe it could be. I believe it could be freestanding as long as it's within three tefachim and lava and things like that.
So it needs to be within.
Well, yeah, whatever the rules of lechi are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do you need a lechi?
Lechi is only Durabanan, just to signal you where... It's Durabanan. Yeah, it's Durabanan. To signal that where you're walking. In other words, you know, traffic doesn't recognize the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah. They're continuously traveling. So you need a no, a stop and stop.
Your picture only shows one lechi. You should show two.
Well, I drew a kaira on the side. Kaira is a beam across the highway. And lechi is a small little standing pole. Then you can carry in between.
You don't need a korah mikan mikan. You can have a korah and a lechi.
Without getting into Masechus Ervin, I think so. Yeah. But, yeah. Amrulai, Ein Ma'arvin Rosh Hashanah Bekach. And they responded, no, you cannot make an Ervin Rosh Hashanah with such stuff. Because it's a Rosh Hashanah. Okay, period. The Amai Kari Le Gemura. So what does it say? This is, back to our Coke Mashal, this is a real drink. So there's two diukim. This is a real drink. Oh, this to the exclusion of what? And then a real drink. Okay, so now what is real? This is a Rosh Hashayachet Gemura. So this, we said, is coming to exclude this case. What's real? Gemura Maui, the same as says the Gemara, Ki Pligi Rabbanan Alei Ad Rabbi Yehuda, Deloi Havi Rosh Hashayachet Hanami Leila D'Haltal. Says the Gemara, I would have thought that this that the Rabbanan are arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, that's only because they're coming l'chumrah. Really deep down they agree to him. Yeah, it's a Rosh Hashayachet. But we don't want you carrying in such an area. It'll be very easy to carry. So therefore, we're going to say it's not a Rosh Hashayachet. But deep down we are. Nafgemina, if a person goes ahead and carries two amas from here to here, is he chayiv or not? If we say that deep down they agree, then that's going to be an issur d'oraisa. If we say deep down they don't agree, so then you did absolutely nothing wrong. So that's what Gemura means. Gemura means, no. We hold it's not a Rosh Hashayachet at all. Now actually the word Gemura sort of like shoots itself in the foot there. So Rashi tweaks it. Gemura means, this is not a Rosh Hashayachet, this is not at all a Rosh Hashayachet. Either it's just semantics. The point is though, that this is not a Rosh Hashayachet at all. That's their point. If anybody's having a question with the semantics of the Gemara, Rashi deals with it. How the word Gemura fits into this. But the point is that they want to say, we don't argue at any, we argue completely. This is not considered a Rosh Hashayachet at all. It's not like we're being machmer. We disagree with you. This is a proper Rosh Hashanah. I would thought maybe that's only with regards to carrying. But with regards to throwing in there, perhaps they would agree that it's taka rishus yachid l'chumra. No, that's why they use the word gemura, to tell me that they disagree completely. It's not a rishus yachid at all. We have time to start the next one. Nope, we don't. Have a great day.